Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in, DFW. Glad to have each and every one of you on board on this Tuesday evening. The NBA tips off its 2025 campaign tonight as the Oklahoma City Thunder and Houston Rockets are underway in OKC. And, of course, the new-look Houston Rockets with Kevin Durant, former OKC Thunder. They gave out the rings today, did the whole ceremony there for the OKC Thunder. But we are at a commercial right now, so we'll keep you about Serge Ibaka, looking like he just got off safari. But
I love the big hat look. He's one of the few players. Obviously, he's
rocking
him.
He's rocking it.
They rock it.
21-17. Rockets up 20 with 5 minutes left to go in the first quarter. Big lineup, which makes you wonder, Blake Elliott, is this a segue into a Mavericks big lineup when their season tips off tomorrow?
Yeah, we'll discuss that with Grant at 7:40. Me and him talked about it on the pod and kind of went back and forth. We both predicted D'Angelo Russell, but as days go on, it's looking more and more like, yeah, especially after what Jay Kidd said today at practice, it's looking like you might get Cooper Flagg starting to point, and you might have to.
Yeah.
Because the division the Mavericks are in, what's the name of the division? Do we don't keep up with divisions.
Pacific? Does that sound?
No, that's definitely not right.
We don't.
Southwest.
Not Rockets. My goodness, that's Lakers. That's all them. Southwest? And then there's a Northwest division, I think.
See, that sounds even more ridiculous.
We don't keep up with divisions in basketball.
But I want to say we're in the Southwest.
I think Southwest.
Southwest. No, Southwest sounds accurate. And I don't mean the airline.
With the Mavericks. Now,
you're right, though. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Because it doesn't affect playoffs.
We don't even think about
it. Not 1 second of our day goes by. What division is winning, losing, performing well?
No one puts up district,
But in the NFL, it's literally the end-all, be-all. Like, your division.
Your division. I mean, teams will put up division banners.
Yeah.
For crying out loud. Like, that's how serious some teams take it. But, yeah, no. Look, you got the Spurs. Spurs, Mavs, Rockets. There you go. There's your.
I think Pelicans. I think also in there.
And Grizzlies.
And the Grizzlies. Good call. And the Grizzlies are the last team.
All right. I feel like there's one more, isn't there?
I think it's five. I think it's just five.
I think it's six, isn't it? Because you only got two per conference.
No, because all the divisions have five teams in them.
Yeah.
Has it been that long since I looked at a NBA?
Dude, I mean, I'm not going to give you grief for 1 second because who in their right mind looks up divisions in the NBA? But my point was saying the Southwest division, which the Mavericks, Rockets, and Spurs play in, all three teams are going to be deploying a big lineup.
Yeah.
They're all the three tallest teams in the NBA are all in the same division. So just fun to watch to see how the NBA season is going to pan out. We're finally here. I'm excited. SGA on the floor. I'm ready to see him dethroned because everyone's been saying he's the best NBA player since like Michael Jordan. So I'm ready for guys like Cooper Flagg, AD, Kyrie, Luka, Wimby. I am on the SGA hate train. One of my good friends works with him and is working with him right now, but I still dislike SGA. So I'm ready for the Rockets to win tonight and the Thunder to be dethroned as NBA champions.
Yeah, no, Southwest Division, Mavs, Rockets, Grizzlies, Pelicans, Spurs, and then you've got the Pacific Division, Golden State, Lakers, Clippers, Suns, Kings, and then the Northwest Division, Nuggets, T-Wolves, Thunder, Trailblazers, and Utah.
Look at that. Three of the better teams and then two of the worst teams in that last division.
There you have it.
Also, can we talk about Oklahoma City in the Northwest? Like, if there's one team,
because they obviously used to be in Seattle.
Right, and it makes total sense when you put it that way, but you're just like, wait, hold on.
What's the point of realigning it? I don't think...
Well, you're going to have to if we add a Vegas team, because that's obviously going to shift the balance to too many teams in the West. I could see maybe the Grizzlies or the Timberwolves moving to the East. But then, yeah, the problem is, what happens if you also add Seattle? Because then you have to move another team to the East.
I mean, I wish they wouldn't do it. I think the last thing you need are more teams in the NBA.
There's a lot of talent, though, man, that doesn't make it. Like, I know we can make fun of the Nets and the Wizards and stuff, but there's, like, Russ almost was an NBA, and I think we can all agree he's still an NBA-caliber player. Obviously, he's with the Kings now and actually was practicing with the first team with the starters today. But I'm just saying there's a lot of talent, so I wouldn't be mad. I'm all for expansion and giving guys different looks and whatnot, and the guys that aren't meant to be there won't be there, because I don't think NBA GMs
are. Is there that
much
talent, though?
I think there is. I mean, there's still, like Dennis Smith Jr., I think is good enough for an NBA roster. Is he maybe fit on the Mavs roster
but
right
why
now?
Why do I need another team, though? So we need a team full of over-the-hill Russell Westbrooks and Dennis Smith Jr.?
Well, that team wouldn't only be Russell Westbrooks.
But if those are the two examples as to why we need more teams, that's not a good example.
There's more balance that could be had, and I'm not
you've got five or six teams in the NBA that are awful every year, so we want to add two more awful teams?
One more.
I mean, the NBA's got to – now, I'll tell you what the NBA needs to do, what I would like to see, and they've already kicked around this idea. I want to see them play Euro teams.
In the middle of the season?
Absolutely.
And affect their record? That's kind of weird.
Let every team play one of them,
and you get one Euro game? Because you have to obviously bounce it out record-wise. Can't have the Warriors play them five times and the Mavs play them one time.
If there's a way – you kind of like the way you did it with the
– NBA Cup?
NBA Cup deal. Right, if you can figure out a way to make it work, that's something I would like to see. I would love to see the best. After talking to Ray and knowing kind of how they go about doing their business over there in Europe, I would love to see the best teams in Europe play the best teams in the NBA year after year. How you figure that out, I don't know, but I would rather see that be done than versus, yeah, let's go ahead and expand because we feel bad that Seattle doesn't have a team anymore.
And we got you guys covered on all things Max Crosby. Me and you both have Woolchuck and Brian Bryce's number. I'm assuming if any breaking news happens as far as stuff behind the scenes, they'll text us and we will relay that information. Me, Fred, and Ross.
Or they'll just come on the show.
Yep. Me, Ross, and Fred will be checking our phones to see if any new details come out about the inquiring Max Crosby, if that does happen for the Dallas Cowboys getting a top five edge rusher. What it would cost, maybe who's getting dealt out, and how close things are happening. But if you missed it, Woolchuck reporting that the Max Crosby wants to come to the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. Now, who called who, the financials of it, when it's going to happen, all that is still up in the air. But we will be keeping track for any update that we get referring to Max Crosby and the Cowboys.
I mean, I think I go back to what Broda said in the last hour of G-Bag. And Jerry's been very steadfast in all this. In fact, I'll tell you what, Ross, we'll go ahead and let you, because I've got it right here. Let's go with Jerry 8. Let's go with Jerry cut number 8. This is Jerry talking about what needs to happen. And this is kind of precipitated everything that's gone on this afternoon and has gone on as the day's gone on with Max Crosby and all this scuttlebutt about him becoming a Dallas Cowboy and vice versa. This is Jerry Jones talking with KNC this morning about what needs to happen if they're going to be buyers.
I don't know that to actually affect a trade, that what we see over the next few weeks is the most important ingredient as to how there might be a trade. Hmm. They'll probably, if there were a trade, it will be because it fits us. It fits us. And to fit, it's got to be a reason why the player would leave that we're interested in going forward with. And it would have to fit us in terms of our plans on our roster, the financial, everything that goes with that. And so you don't just because we played well and all of a sudden everybody thinks, boy, you're in the hunt. So it's time to go out and gather up all of this talent that's waiting around out here on the trees to add to it now that we feel good that we can be more competitive. That's not realistic. What's realistic is that if we do see an opportunity, we are in as good a shape as we've been in years with picks, with financial, with our cap, we're in as good a shape we've ever been if we see a way to improve our team with a player that makes sense today, this year, next year, to entertain it and look at it.
But, Jerry, at this...
We do that every day. We do that every day.
I'm not going to lie. I said it. I texted to you when it happened and we talked on the phone. I think this is my favorite Jerry audio that I've heard this year because it feels somewhat different. I can see some of the similarities, but it feels a little bit different from how I thought Jerry would react to that question. Because I think he could have very easily been like, kind of what everyone's saying on social media, what all of us are saying, if this team keeps winning, their Super Bowl window's here, Dak's playing at MVP level, you have to strike right now. No ifs, ands, or buts. I don't care about the the future, long term. I don't care about the draft picks. Go get Max Crosby. Now, when Jerry said this, the Max Crosby stuff hadn't blown up yet. So, but if he is taking them at face value, giving them benefit of the doubt, if he is willing to take a measured approach and go, hey, I'm not going to base our whole future. The Micah thing has ramifications for the next couple years. It's not just you got to win this year or do that. Like, you got draft picks, you got money, you moved off of him. This is to build a new foundation for the Dallas Cowboys. You moved off a huge foundational block with Micah. So what you do with those resources are very important. Would I absolutely love to have Max Crosby? 100%. But like I said, taking Jerry at face value of what he said, getting Max Crosby in the next 2-3 weeks sounds great in the short term, but maybe Jerry and Steven and the guys that do this for a living are going, hey, we're still going to get Max Crosby, but it's going to be in the offseason, and we're going to figure out a way that it makes more sense for our financials and bring back George Pickens. Maybe we're going to get a player that's similar to Max Crosby that fits our financials more. Like, I know the exciting thing, and even myself, like, just go get him. Just make it happen. And then when they give up 2 first-round picks and a player, and then we're on the next day or even the next season, we're like, man, that was a terrible trade, and you did this, and your team was 500, and you gave up all this stuff to excite the fans to get Max Crosby. And I know everybody listening right now is like, Jerry, just make a move and be bold. And I get that, and I think there can be pros to it. But I do appreciate the measured approach, taking Jerry at face value, of what he said. It doesn't have to always happen right now. I'm not just thinking short term. So shout out to Jerry, man. I feel like the front office may have a kind of a good feeling of how this is going. And now the reports that we're hearing that Max Crosby wants to come here, that works even more in Jerry's favor of, like, we don't have to be the beggar. We have to have him right now for our team to be good. Because I don't think they're a Max Crosby away from a Super Bowl. I don't. Do I think he gets them way closer? 1,000% he gets them way closer. Do I think just inserting Max Crosby, you're now the Super Bowl favorite and Super Bowl contender? I don't. I still think this defense has a lot of work to do, and I don't think one player can fix that. But he'd be a huge step in the right direction, especially because he's under contract for the next 3 years.
Well, no, I think that's my biggest thing is, and you know, I don't know that Jerry really strayed all that far from his usual messaging as far as how they go about, you know, what they need to do trade wise. I mean, he's been very clear that, you know, they're open for business and that, you know what, we don't make the phone call. We take the phone calls. And so I think that just reiterates to me is, look, Jerry is smart enough to know, like, look, he's got a pocket full of cash, right? Like, he's got assets. He's got things that he can move on.
He can be
of.
A little choosy.
He can be that, and that's the thing though, right? But you're in this weird spot though where, okay, don't spend just because the money's burning a hole in your pocket.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, on one hand, and I'm with you wholeheartedly, like, yes, does adding Max Crosby suddenly give this defense a new dynamic? 1,000%. And maybe all of a sudden, you know, if instead of rotating between, you know, Sam Williams, James Houston,
Fowler,
Marshawn Nealon, Fowler, and Jadeveon Clowney on two sides, now if I just have to take that group, and Ezeraku, who's probably been the best pass rusher out of that entire group.
Him in Houston, yeah.
And then I throw that. And all I got to do is worry about that opposite of Max Crosby.
It could have a trickle effect where everybody starts playing better. I do agree.
You know what I'm saying? So I do think that there's something to that. And then if you go make an ancillary move where, you know, okay, now all of a sudden we go out and get a linebacker or, you know, Overshown does. Now you don't need
him and Revel or
you
both.
You can slow him down a little bit. Revel, I'm TBD on. At least with Overshown, we've seen what he's capable of. I'm less concerned about what his ability is and more concerned about just what he's going to be like physically. But do you go get a safety at that point? Because we all know You need safety help. And that, and look, it's as much about, forget just the availability standpoint of it now, or excuse me, the quality standpoint. You know, look, Wanye was hurt. Malik's still out. All right. So, I mean, you're Donovan and Marquise Bell, like that's what you're dealing with right now. So you were already, I mean, look, you've talked about it ad nauseum throughout this entire season. You were up against it already with your secondary. Now you've got a depleted secondary on top of that. So, you know, is a Minkah Fitzpatrick somebody you go kick the tires on? Who, oh, by the way, now tell you what, you had a Minkah Fitzpatrick who you can probably get for a fourth or fifth round draft pick. All right. And then you go get a Max Crosby.
I will have a whole new tone.
Now your defense is totally night and day different.
Overshown plus. Like,
all right, because now you've got a playmaker on the backside, you've got a playmaker in your front seven, and you've got a serviceable linebacker group where it's like, all right, guys, look.
And Kenneth Murray all of a sudden played.
Kenneth Murray, Kenneth Murray played his ass off last Sunday, okay? Kenneth Murray played the best game of his, definitely of his Cowboy career. So now you tell me that in the next 3 weeks you could add potentially three playmakers to each level of this defense? Yeah. And his offense stays the same?
And I'm assuming Jerry and Steven are looking at that like, hey, if we just isolate Max Crosby, probably not great, but can we compound it with this and this?
You got to go make another move.
Can I do this and this? Is Overshown ready to come back? Like, if they know Overshown, Revell, we can't get another guy, they're going to be slow to come back, and we're just going to kind of be a gap year, then yeah, don't give up your entire resources for Max Crosby. Hey, we can get him for cheaper here, make more sense in the offseason. We're going to build, have this guy healthy, and make this trade and draft this guy, yada, 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 and make it a culmination of who the Cowboys want to be foundationally. I'm on board for that. I just don't want
I bet you Trayvon doesn't want to go if you bring in Max Crosby. Yeah.
I just don't want a reaction if you beat a depleted Commanders team, and you're like, the iron's hot, we're the team, all we need is one player, and we're going to be the Super Bowl favorite. Well, I don't want that to happen.
And I think that's what Jerry more or less said without saying it.
Yes.
Like, I mean.
And like you said, they haven't played two good games in a row.
Yeah, they haven't won, no. And that's the issue, right? Let's
not forget they lost to the Panthers 9 days ago.
Yeah.
Like.
And looked bad doing it.
We got to put everything in context. I know myself, you, and all the people listening want to get excited over the Commanders win, and it is good. But when you start making trades, you got to look at totality. You can't just look at one
week. What are the Commanders, 3-4 right now after the other day?
Sounds about right.
So right now, you're combined, you've won three games against, let's see.
Giants, Jets.
Okay, and so that's 0-7, that's 2-5, so that's 2-12, 5-16 is the combined record of the three teams you've beaten.
Commanders, 3 wins, Giants, 2 wins, and then Jets, 0.
Yeah. So you're So the teams that you've beaten are 5-16 on the season.
Yeah,
and none are threatening to be a playoff team.
Yeah, Commanders being obviously the closest.
And right now, the Jets are right now the number one team. Would have the number one pick in the draft. And by the way, their owner just basically crapped all over Justin Fields today.
I will say, if you do trade your first round pick and get a Max Crosby, whatever, it's not as valuable as it once was because you're assuming you're going to be a playoff team, and the Packers are also. So now,
moving off that Packers pick.
Both those first round picks are not
trying to get rid of.
If you keep trending the right way and you do make a trade for Max Crosby, your pick nor the Packers pick is like a top 15 pick. You're hoping.
You hope.
Like you're giving away late first for very elite pass rusher.
An all pro talent
in Max Crosby. So I think there's a lot of pros. It's going to be expensive right now. But the fact that he wants to come here could bode well.
Plus, he's under contract, too.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm just saying expense as far as what you're going to have to give out. Him, the money he's making is a steal.
I don't know. You can live.
15, 20, you'll pay him this year, and then like around 30 for the next 3-4 years.
You can live with that all day. All right, coming up next, we got a loaded show, as you guys might already suspect. We've got plenty of Mavs to get into. They kick their season off or tip their season off tomorrow night. We're going to have Grant Asseth join us here in the next segment. We're going to do our NBA prediction. Tolo's on the telephone. That's going to go down at 8:40. We want to hear from you guys, your thoughts on both the Cowboys as well as your Dallas Mavericks, plus some NFL stack. Jate Riekma, so much to get to. But when we come back, We heard about maybe the potential of a Max Crosby, but what did Jerry have to say about Trayvon Diggs and whether or not he's satisfied with his reason for not playing on Sunday? So much to get to. Don't go anywhere. This is the Fan After.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Appreciate that, Ross Lubinsky. Glad to have each and every one of you guys with us on this Tuesday night. 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. That is the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line. Let us know how you're feeling on this Tuesday night. Maybe you're watching a little basketball as the
feeling
Rockets
nice-y.
Are up 2 on OKC. Can't wait till tomorrow, though. We're going to get a good look, how we're going to be feeling about this Mavericks team. And, you know, everybody's got different ideologies and feelings about this basketball team. I'm excited. So,
I'm gonna say it once again, Fred. I'm gonna repeat myself. If you're a Tolo and Fatty, you have this on repeat this time. Best month of the year, man. Best month of the year. We just saw Game 7.
Did you figure out your Halloween costume yet?
I did not. But we just had Game 7 of the ALCS. World Series is around the corner. NBA basketball starts the very next day. We got NFL trade rumors left and right. We got teams starting to solidify themselves. Halloween parties are happening this weekend. The weather was phenomenal.
The weather was
phenomenal today. Great breeze. Sun out.
73 degrees right now.
Leaves, I feel like, are starting to change colors. I'm trying to think, is there any other good vibes that I'm missing? Pumpkin patches are happening.
Yeah.
State fair just happened. Like, just the best month. There's really...
They did say that they had fewer people, fewer foot traffic.
100%.
At the fair this year.
I will say I appreciated it this past weekend.
Did you?
It was very nice.
They're not handing out tickets anymore, bro. To students.
To the kids?
I mean, yeah. That's probably 50% of the state fair attendance is students going. They don't hand them out anymore. And my friend Clay, as you know, is a teacher. Yeah. He's like, we just don't do it anymore. But they said it was because kids weren't going. I'm not going to get political and all that stuff. I don't know. I don't really know the reason why, but.
I don't know either. We're thwarting the kids.
And that was kind of that was like a mainstay of being like a Texas high school kid. Like when you talk to other kids in other states.
Was getting to go to the fair?
We get fair tickets. And it's just kind of the rite of passage of going to school in Texas.
I'm trying to remember, Blake, how long in school, like how late were you in school still getting tickets? Because I don't think we were getting them in high school, but we were definitely getting them through middle school for sure.
Don't remember at all how long it went. I'm not even going to sit here and lie to you. I couldn't tell you one grade that it happened. I just know it was part of what happened.
You know that they were being handed out, though.
I know they were being handed
out. You do know that they were being handed out.
I think you used to be able to, like, give a Dr. Pepper can and get, like, 50% off or something like that.
That sounds accurate.
I think that's Coke with Six Flags, but I like where your head's at.
Oh, is that Coke with Six Flags?
Close enough. Bring in a couple canned goods. You're getting in somewhere. All right. Jerry was on KNC Masterpiece this morning. He's normally on with Sean and RJ, but he was having some cell phone issues, so he was able to jump on with KNC. And, of course, they're doing the league meetings. So, again, that may be why some of this scuttlebutt's coming around about the Raiders and Max Crosby, because, as we all know, I'm sure there's been some preliminary discussions about people getting moved. But now, one of the folks, and we're going to talk about Trayvon Diggs here in just a second, but George Pickens obviously is getting all kinds of run as far as, all right, will he be a Cowboy next season? What kind of money is he looking at right now, especially considering just the run that he's been on? I mean, he has certainly solidified his value as a top-flight wide receiver in the National Football League. Are extension talks going on right now with GP, or does it make sense to wait, Jerry?
You make that an either or, and I'm not trying to have issue with the way you're phrasing your question today, but any and everything about George Pickens is crossing our mind.
Ooh, I like to hear that.
And when you say, does that generate conversations? It certainly can generate conversations between people in our building without George being in the room. And it can cause a lot of conversation, I'm sure, around the league. But the answer is, certainly, he's a topic of interest and discussion because of his success he's had.
Okay, I mean...
Shout out, Jerry. I took that as he's aware of the George Pickens stuff. He's aware his price is probably going up. He's aware people probably want to take him off the team, and he's aware it's going to be expensive to keep him. Jerry's not out of the loop. That's all I took that for. Jerry is aware of what's going on and how trade talks work and how contract extensions work, and people play well and they're going to get more money.
It was encouraging, though, that he didn't say, well, we'll address that when the season's over.
Yeah. He's like, I get it. It's happening.
Because he was very flippant and, you know, almost dismissive when asked about whether it was Micah or CD or Dak. Like, he was fine with letting those ride, and you pretty much gleaned that from every answer he gave. This one is it's top of mind for us, right? And so
it's in the notebook.
If there was ever a way of him saying, you know what, we are considering doing something, or you know, you cannot, for a player of George Pickens' magnitude, you can't get into a bidding war.
And I think they realize that one, all those guys that you named before, CD, Dak, and Micah, they drafted all those guys.
They did.
This is a guy that they already gave up resources for, so they probably feel some sort of like, we want to make this worth our while.
Absolutely.
And I think Jerry has seen the best he's seen out of Dak. And it's like, man, even if CD were to get hurt, this makes Dak really happy. I got a bona fide guy. He's been watching Tolbert for a couple years be wide receiver two, and Brandon Cooks come in for a little bit, and different guys try to fill their role. You haven't had a wide receiver two since Amari Cooper and CD were here.
No.
And I think Jerry likes offense like the rest of us. I mean, he's human. He enjoys box office. Like
he's entering the Al Davis stage of his career, and take that however you want to take it. But, you know, I mean, Robert Gallery sat here and told us a week ago that, you know, he drafted people based purely off speed alone. Al Davis did, right? And so, you know, the thing about this Cowboys team that, and you and I talked about this a few weeks ago, as bad as this defense has been, it's you've still given the team a puncher's chance in every game because your offense is as elite as it is. Yep. And the fact that you do have maybe the top two wide receivers in football today, right now, as it stands, you might have the best 1-2 punch in the NFL when it comes to receiving threat. And yeah, that's fun to watch. I mean, because the thing is, it's like, hey,
they're selling out games.
This thing could drag out.
They always sell out, but I'm saying you feel it in the stadium. Like people are excited to watch the team, even though they were 2-3 wins in most of these games we're seeing.
And that's the thing is that because you still feel like even though you know you watch a Giants game where you win 43-40, but you know what, you won and it was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah,
you'll take a tie against the Green Bay Packers because why? It was a lot of fun to watch. You know, now
Jerry loves business and loves money and entertainment value.
Like there's something about
and Pickens is exactly that. Gives you the theatrics, gives you the touchdown celebrations.
He's box office 101. Yep. Like that dude. I mean, I'm not gonna say that you know. Talk about like being born to be a cowboy, but
yeah.
I mean he embodies everything that Jerry loves about a Dallas Cowboy.
100%. Exciting, flashy,
you know,
and makes great plays.
I mean, he's jumping into people. Okay? Like literally jumping into
think
people.
About it. We've heard zero reports about late to practice, getting
nothing
fights
negative.
With teammates,
attitude issues,
talking
absolutely.
With the media wrong, missing interviews. We've had zero of those issues. So I think I hope I don't regret saying this, Fred. But I do trust the front office to handle this George Pickens thing. Whether it's trading him or giving him money, I for some weird reason I have a good feeling they're gonna handle this correctly.
All right, have Jerry 11 because you guys both brought it up, and let's just hear from Jerry himself. Why has the George Pickens experience been so much different in Dallas than it was in Pittsburgh?
Well, I will give a lot of credit to Brian Schottenheimer. I'll give a lot of credit to Dak Prescott. And I'll give a lot of credit to George Pickens because he's come in here with a can-do frame of mind about being a part of a team. he's coming in about how he can complement what we do, not just complementary football, offense, defense, but how about complementing Lamb and complementing what we're trying to do with our offense. And frankly, he's above expectations in all boxes.
Can-do attitude. Love to hear it. And, of course, you got to give up to CD, Dak, as well as George Pickens himself. All right, last but certainly not least, we'll pay off this final tease. When asked, was he okay with the explanation that Trayvon gave him for the concussion?
Yes, and I am. And there's no reason to dwell on any more here. And so it's what it is. And consequently, what we did see is we played pretty well out there. And so I don't know the status of Diggs as we move forward, but I feel better about being able to play if we don't have him out there.
Oh, whoa. Hey, I was just going to say,
that's fire.
Look at Jerry, like, pretty, in a good way, avoiding the question, just saying it's nothing. He's going to be a practice, whatever. We won't talk about this for the rest of the week. Then that last sentence.
Well, he kind of said it in the middle part, too, where he said, and consequently, we played okay. So, no, he took two kind of subtle digs at Diggs.
I mean, that last one wasn't subtle.
No, the last one wasn't subtle at all. He took a subtle one, and then the last one, he let him know, like, and again, this is really, I mean, him and Diggs have had no problem going at each other. Throughout the call, I mean, he made it clear. I mean, he used him as him and Terrence Steele. That's why he doesn't want to sign Micah. You know,
I mean, look at the Steele contract.
Hey, I signed those two. How'd that work out for you? You know what I mean? So, you know, Jerry still has his fastball, right? I mean, Jerry's has his moments.
Like, is he wrong? We'll have to wait and see with Diggs and the whole man coverage thing. But do you necessarily want your owner taking shots at Diggs? Now, people listening might go, I don't care what Diggs thinks anymore. I'm done with him.
No,
like how Sean Sharif was saying, like, I'm done with the drama. Cut him, trade him. I don't care. I assume most of the listener base right now is in the same camp. I don't think there's a lot of Diggs defenders right now. But, you know, it is still kind of stinks to see if you are a Diggs defender.
Well, but you know what? I think I'll say this, then we'll go to break and talk to Grant next. You owe him at the very least to play some man-to-man.
Yeah.
Okay. Like you can't. All I'll say is this: we know Diggs ain't trying to tackle anybody. We get all that. But on the flip side of that, all right, look. You switched to man-to-man, you played at what, 60, 70% or whatever it was on Sunday, and guess what? You played decidedly different, okay? Now, we can break down why the Commanders don't look that great and yada yada and whatever, but if he's back and can play this Sunday and you're going to play some more man-to-man, I'd like to see, at the very least, can we at least give Trayvon Diggs that?
Diggs is better than Bridges. Better than Kyrie.
Oh, absolutely. Man to man, 100%.
And it helps the trade value if he plays well.
Or, God forbid, he plays well and you let him ride it out. Like, he goes back to being a semblance of what he used to be, and you'll live with that. And if you get Revelle, who turns out to be okay, Kalen Carson, who turns out to be okay.
Now we're not waiting on Elam and
suddenly,
Bridges. Suddenly,
it's like, okay, maybe that defense isn't so bad after all. Yes, sir, real quick.
I was just going to say real quick, so, you know, we've had so many sagas with all these contract extensions for the Cowboys, right? Dak, CD, just to name a few. Micah, obviously, Trayvon. How crazy would it be if after all of these sagas, after all that's left is Dak and CD? That would be wild.
Well, we're certainly, although you do have Tyler Smith, so you got that going for
you as
well. No,
right, but just like the big name
from the
key
OGs,
star players, and to put everyone through all this just to trade them in the ways that they have, that would be, it would be something.
You're barreling towards that finish. All right, coming up next, Grant Afsa talking all things Dallas Mavericks, the podcast partner of one Mr. Blake Elliott. Let's get you ready for your Dallas Mavericks. Don't go anywhere.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, shout out to the Wooliest of the Bullies, a.k.a. Zach Wolchuk. You know him from the G-Bag Nation. You know him from Wooly Bullies Top 10, which is maybe the greatest segment in the history of radio.
A little post-game Cowboys.
Post-game Cowboys, halftime show Cowboys. And he broke the news this afternoon saying, look, there's some smoke to this, when everybody else was trying to poo-poo it. And he said he got some feedback that this might not be a go, but a fluid situation. And then Tom Pelissero tweets out the following, quote, the Raiders met with star defensive end Max Crosby today to let him know that they aren't shopping him and won't trade him, sources tell me and Slater NFL. While other teams are interested, the Raiders aren't interested in moving their best player, and Crosby wants to stay in Las Vegas. So,
sounds like it's a...
Take that for what it is. A lot of PR, spin, speak, you know.
This is fun. This is fun. This is why being in this job is one of the most fun jobs, because this is part of it, man. You for 1 second, you think it's going to happen. Then it's not going to happen. Then the team puts out a statement. Then,
which they have to do.
And then I'll also, you know, these journalists... Talking about our teammates, you know, yeah. Sometimes stuff is put out for a reason. I'll say, I'll just put it like that. Negotiating through the media, putting things out, putting feelers out. Oh, Max Crosby's on the block. We see teams willing to give us four first.
What agent told me this?
Or, oh, Max is only pulling in a second, you know, kind of gauge that. Do we want to move? Maybe we don't want to move on from him, but everybody's got a price.
Oh, everybody. Absolutely.
I mean, everybody's got a price.
You almost wonder now, is it going to be two first round picks? Like, I don't think if you're the Raiders, you're not.
If you're the Raiders, why would you? You just paid him, and it's going to mess up your cap a little bit. Not the
little bit.
It'll mess it up a little bit.
I think the dead cap hits like 15 million or something like that, which you can live with, especially if you know you're going to. At the very least, it's like, all right, look, if we're going to get rid of Max Crosby, because let's be real, you're not contending anytime soon.
Yeah, the Raiders.
Okay, the Raiders are not contending anytime soon. I hate to be the guy that tells you this, but Geno Smith's been a disaster.
Hey, higher passer rating on PFF than Patrick Mahomes.
Well, that's a whole other conversation. But well, I'll tell you what, we'll talk about this more in the 8 o'clock hour. Let's jump out to the D&M Leasing Hotline. Friend of the program, and I'll tell you what, I'm a little jealous. I'm a little jealous, all right? Because, you know, when he's not doing radio with me, he's doing podcasts with him. I'm talking about Grant and Blake. What's up, Grant?
Not much. Appreciate you having me on.
Always, my man. Always. All right, so we're sitting here watching. Well, we're catching parts of this game as much as we can, being on the radio as well. What have you taken? Now, I guess, are you being able to watch this Rockets-Thunder game so far?
Yeah, I have. I'm actually watching it right now.
Anything that you've taken away from two teams that will factor significantly into what kind of run this Mavericks team makes this year?
Yeah, I think the Rockets, the big thing with them going just super sized lineup, having Kevin Durant at the two and having double bigs. I think the Mavericks, ironically, were the team that I think sparked that for them when that first half Anthony Davis was going off. And I think Dylan Brooks was guarding him, playing the four, and they decided at halftime, we got to shut AD's water off, and they put Steven Adams next to Şengün, and it worked really well. And then, of course, AD got hurt. You know, that I think has been interesting to just see the Rockets really buy into that identity. And then OKC is pretty much just OKC again, running it back without Jalen Williams due to injury.
Okay. So speaking of big lineups, look, I told Blake, I do think that they're going to go with the big lineup tomorrow, that being the Mavericks. I do think we're going to see Cooper Flagg start at the point, and you will see Clay, PJ, Lively, and AD. If that does turn out to be the starting five, what does that tell you about what Jay Kidd and this team's looking to do, or at the very least, what message he's trying to send with that kind of a lineup early on?
Yeah, I think obviously preseason is just preseason, but against Charlotte, that defensive backcourt, when they started D'Angelo Russell and Klay Thompson, it was really rough defensively. And I think that's really what it tells you is they want to start with defense as their core identity, and they have to do it with the right personnel out there. And, you know, perhaps, you know, D'Angelo Russell is not that option. And if they go with a jumbo lineup with Cooper Flagg at the one, PJ Washington next to him, and Klay, that has a lot of size on the perimeter with, you know, shot blockers on the back line. So I think that's really what it tells you is we'll try to figure out offense later, but we have to get defense to set the tone.
Grant, what should Mavs fans know about injuries leading up to opening night tomorrow at the AAC versus Spurs? Who's good to go, who's not, and how close are we getting back to some guys?
Yeah, the main player to watch is Daniel Gafford. Jason Kidd told us at practice today that he'd be questionable. He's still dealing with a right ankle injury, but he ended up being actually officially listed as doubtful, so he's probably not going to play. And the only other players that are like officially ruled out is Dante Exum and Kyrie Irving.
What's the plan with Exum? What's the latest update? Because even me and you seeing all this stuff, there just hasn't been much talk about Exum and kind of how that dovetails into Brandon Williams and Ryan Nimhard.
Yeah, it's still very, like, ambiguous. This was the first day they had to officially list a designation. We knew it was, like, a right knee injury just because of observations. He had it iced, like, the whole week at training camp in Vancouver, and that's something that I just, you know, kept tabs on. And then we haven't really gotten a formal update of a timetable or severity. They're calling it right knee injury management. So I guess maybe his knee just hasn't responded well. I know he's had problems with his knees. Like, he had what they called bursitis at one point, you know, earlier in his Mavericks tenure that kept him out for, you know, many weeks. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on. There is just the consistent struggles, you know, with his knee durability.
One thing, what's been kind of your feeling? You know, you're on social a lot as far as the feeling around no Luka. I mean, the team obviously is clearly, you know, they're solidified in what they're doing. But what's kind of what have you heard as far as just from around the league and just from on your Twitter and that sort of thing, as far as what is kind of the overall temperature towards this Dallas Maverick basketball team?
Yeah, I think for the most part, a lot of people, it's kind of a mixed bag. Some people, especially early on when they were putting D'Angelo Russell on the floor in their starting five, there was a lot of concerns defensively, you know, that we just talked about. But I do have heard quite a bit where some people feel, you know, with Cooper Flagg, like he checks so many boxes that he's going to elevate this group, you know, just so much from day one that they're actually going to be able to overcome Kyrie Irving being out. You know, we're going to have to see how that comes to fruition, of course, but there's definitely, you know, quite a bit of optimism from people that are, you know, very intelligent, you know, around the league. But, you know, that's always going to be interesting to see when a rookie's stepping in, because he's going to have to get used to executing, especially out of a normal role where he's handling the ball a little bit more. I do think it's important not to, like, overemphasize the point guard, you know, commentary, because it's more like point forward where it's like kind of by committee. It's like grab and go, and then they're just kind of dumping the ball into the high post and playing out of, you know, the big up top. So it's not like the true, like, pounding the air out of the ball floor general stuff. So it's not as difficult as what it sounds like when it's point guard, but still, that's regardless going to be an adjustment, just getting used to the NBA level and playing in that type of role instead of playing off of others with, you know, frequent off-ball movement and things of that nature right off the bat.
Grant Avseth of the Mavs Pulse podcast, Dallas Hoops Journal, best reporter at all 82 games. You're hearing his insight. If the fans listening right now want to kind of intake the game the same way that you and I will be doing tomorrow, what are you looking for outside of just a win and a loss as far as schematically from the Dallas Mavericks versus Spurs tomorrow?
Yeah, I think if you listen to what they've been saying in terms of like their core identity and what they want to accomplish, I think it's really important to just look at this is very simplistic for the first like kind of bullet point, but just overall defensive execution, their core identity kind of aligns with how they have been trying to play last couple years with Frank Vogel's system. Like Jason Kidd brought over a lot of those principles, and there's a lot of similarities still. So there should be carryover to how they've tried to defend in the past. And, you know, with those bigs being healthy in terms of like Anthony Davis and Derek Lively, you would like to see proof of concept with the double big lineup, even as they're getting used to playing next to each other. I think the other stuff in terms of like numbers that you can look at is three-point volume, how they're able to keep up with the other team's volume is a big thing when you're playing double bigs and having, you know, not necessarily like the most sharp shooting lineup out there. That differential is going to be important. Rebounding, when you're starting two bigs, it's important to dominate the boards, especially when the other team is not. That's something that's really important. And cause and effect with that, they're going to have to also get back in transition. That's something that PJ Washington emphasized when I asked him some of those like key focus areas his team is like really thinking about going into the season, is when you are playing big, you do have to be cognizant about getting back. But also today, Jason Kidd kind of expanded on that, and that ties into their offensive side as well. Like, they can't get caught overcutting too much and not getting back if they don't score, all that stuff. So just seeing how all of these things tie in, carrying over from training camp with a new offensive system and just the overall numbers that come with it, like the cause and effect of all that stuff, I think is going to be really fascinating, because they are going to really try to establish things for that first 10, 20 games where they're learning a lot about how that cause and effect comes into play. And then that's where we're really going to know what works, what's not working, and then see changes from there if those are necessary.
All right, real quick, get you out of here with this, Grant. Great stuff from you as always. We look forward to touching base with you all season long. But 30 seconds or less, your overall feeling about Anthony Davis and the kind of load he's ready to take on this season.
Yeah, I think just a quick summary of him. He's been able to get his minutes ramped up throughout preseason. He finished the final preseason game in Vegas playing 32. I think that's exactly where you want him to be, where he's healthy going into the season. He's been able to get used to wearing, you know, that protection over his eyes after having surgery. And I think he played at a high level the last couple of games. I think he's been able to get into shape, you know, playing with ramped up minutes. He's someone you can just run the offense through as a top, you know, 75 player of all time. Like, he's somebody that can, you know, cause a lot of problems. I think what you got to see, though, is his three-point shooting. If you're playing the four and you want to play the four in today's NBA, you got to knock down shots or at least have a front court partner that can knock down those shots. But we also need to see him play at a defensive player of the year level, as he's shown in the past. But that's going to be where their identity starts, and he has to set the tone there.
Grant, where can we find you on the socials?
Yeah, you can find me on all socials. Grant Aseth, A-F-S-E-T-H is my handle. And you can also find a lot of my writing on DallasHoopsJournal.com.
Love to hear it, my friend. Don't forget about the, Mavs Pulse?
Yes, sir.
Mavs Pulse podcast, maybe the hottest podcast in all of the land. Grant, great stuff from you as always, my friend. We look forward to watching a little Mavs basketball tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me.
Always. There you have it, the one, the only, Mr. Grant Aseth. All right, 1 hour in the books, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk some more Mavs. We'll get some thoughts from the Blake Elliott, from the Fred Davis, and maybe even a little bit of the Ross Lubinsky. Don't go anywhere. It's Fan After Dark.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.